Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. As I said, first hour, I've been looking forward to this hour. But because Dr. Greg Popcheck, you probably know him from More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. But he does many, many things besides that and is a real leader in helping families to do the job that families have to do today. And it's a tough job that families have to do today. How are you going to bring kids into this world and keep them in the faith and introduce the faith in a way that they will make it their own and that it can bring all of the healing and power and beauty that the Catholic faith brings into an adult life? How are you going to do that? That's a lot of what Dr. Popcheck does. And so we're going to talk a little bit about raising kids who stay Catholic this hour. Dr. Greg Popcheck, thanks for being here with us.
Pleasure, Cy. Thanks for having me.
Now, you did some research recently, and I read the summary, I'll be honest with you. And and the summary was actually quite astonishing, the things you found about what it takes to keep kids Catholic, so to speak.
That's right. So you mentioned the different things we do, and we wear many hats, Lisa and I, and one of the hats we wear is the co-directors of the Peyton Institute for Domestic Church Life, which is a collaboration between our ministry, CatholicCounselors.com, and Holy Cross Family Ministries, which was actually founded by Venerable Father Patrick Peyton. He's the guy who said, the family that prays together stays together. And so Holy Cross Family Ministries carries on his legacy, and the Peyton Institute in particular conducts original research, professional training, and also creative resource development for supporting Catholic family life and spirituality. So we did a study that we call the Future Faithful Families Project through the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate at Georgetown. And, you know, we found that only about 15% of Catholic kids who are raised in Catholic households grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. Oof. So that's a pretty depressing statistic, right? 15%. Yeah. So we wanted to look at families who bucked that trend and who successfully raised most, and in many cases, all of their children to a faithful adulthood. And these were families with, you know, some families were smaller, so two or three kids, some families were eight or nine kids, and they were all Catholic as adults. And we interviewed both the parents and the adult children because we wanted to get a perspective from both generations about what they felt were not only the faith practices, but the family dynamics that were responsible for passing the faith on from one generation to the next. And what we found really kind of contradicts popular understanding, right? Because I think when we get calls on More to Life, what we hear from parents all the time is, you know, we did all the things, right? We sent our kids to Catholic school. We went to Mass every Sunday. We sent them to the youth group. And our kids aren't Catholic. What did we do wrong? Well, it's not that you did anything wrong. What it is that the study found that those families who successfully raised most, if not all, of their children to a faithful adulthood saw all those external faith practices as essential and necessary and important, but in some ways secondary to the way they were practicing their faith at home, and the degree to which the kids found the faith as a source of the warmth in the home. So there were two things. One, families engaged, you know, in faith practices in the home on a regular basis. They prayed together. But even more importantly, the kids really felt like their faith had something to do with helping them get along better as a family. And that doesn't mean those families were perfect. They had conflict and tension just like every other family. But those kids felt that their prayer life helped their family come together through trials and work together through difficulties. They felt that their faith contributed in some way to a warmer home, a more affectionate home, a home that focused on loving guidance, discipline approaches, as opposed to, you know, heavy-handed or more punitive approaches. And because the kids really saw that their faith was making a difference in the way their mom and dad related to each other and the way parents and kids related to each other, and felt that there was a difference between how their families responded to life and to their less churched Catholic friends or their non-Christian friends' households, they saw that there was a reason to stay Catholic and to want to learn more about being faithful, and they wanted mm-hmm. to carry that into their own adult families as well. And there are other details we can get into, but that's sort of the overriding idea that because the faith made a difference in the relationships, in the marriage and family lives that these kids grew up in, that's what primarily made them want to stay faithful as adults.
There's so much there, and I hope we will. I'm so glad that we have the hour with you, and we'll take some time to let callers in as well. But I want to dig down in this because I think listeners, for listeners, whether it's grandparents or parents or potential parents, this is one of the most fundamental questions that people have who are living the Catholic faith is, how are we going to pass this on to kids? How are we going to help kids not get sidetracked? And it's not just a matter about like getting the numbers up. It's about, it does damage to our lives to leave the embrace of the church. It hurts. People get into all kinds of things that end up robbing them of the gifts that God wants to give them. So let me ask you a few questions. Let me start with this one. The discipline one stands out to me. That why, or do you have any sense of why one form of disciplining children works as far as the maintenance of the faith in the child's life? Why does one form of different discipline seem to be better than another?
Okay, so and interestingly enough, the style of discipline that we're talking about is actually rooted in the educational philosophies of St. John Bosco, who developed a way of teaching called the preventive system, which was all about mentoring children and cultivating virtue and character building through three qualities of reason, religion, and loving kindness were his kind of three watchwords, as opposed to the what he called the repressive system of the day, which focused on punishment and heavy-handed approaches. And what research really shows, though, is that especially when it comes to the faith, if you try to teach the faith as a bunch of rules, then children see the faith as obstacles, right? I have to overcome you, mom and dad, in order to get the social life that I want or the privileges that I want. And I see the faith as just a bunch of reasons why I can't do the things that are important to me, right? Okay. As opposed to with a loving guidance or what we call a discipleship discipline approach, which says, okay, kid, tell me what it is that you're trying to do. Let's work together to help you find healthy and godly ways to do that thing. And I'm going to mentor you so that you can take on responsibility in ways that are healthy for you. I'm going to, you know, help you identify what your feelings are, or your needs are, or your intentions are, and we're going to, you know, pray about it together. We're going to talk about it together. We're going to figure out healthy ways for you to do the things that you want to do. And so the parent is not seen as an obstacle, and the faith isn't seen as an obstacle. They're seen as a help to help the child get their needs met in healthy ways, and the parents are seen as these mentors that can show children appropriate and healthy ways to live. So the faith then becomes a guide for a successful and abundant living, as opposed to a bunch of rules or obstacles that I have to overcome to get what I want out of life.
Does this change the relationship in the teenage years? Because I think the stereotype of the teenager is of rejecting the parents, rolling the eyes at the parents. But I have to say, I know families in which the teenagers don't see their parents that way. They they actually listen. They enjoy conversation with their parents. It's so. Tell me about the teenage years if you take this method.
There's going to be inevitable tension whenever a child is trying to, you know, become independent of his parents, but there doesn't have to be rebellion. Rebellion is actually a sign that there's something wrong in the relationship. It says that. The teenager anyway perceives that you value rules more than you value me. Now that's a false dichotomy because of course kids need rules, right? But it's more about the way parents apply rules in a way that is just sort of arbitrary and as an obstacle, as opposed to in this discipleship discipline approach, which says these rules are can be a help to you in getting what you want and having healthy relationships and leading a healthy and fulfilling life. And when parents can approach the rules, if you will, and the principles of the faith in that way, then there isn't that sense of rebellion. There's always going to be some tension, but there's a respect, a mutual respect and a trust that we can work together through this for each of us to get what we need.
The number here is 888-318-7884. I'm told the phones are probably working now, so we can give that a try if you have questions for Dr. Greg Popcheck. We're talking about raising Catholic kids, raising kids who stay in the Catholic Church. And if that's something you're interested in and you'd like some help with, Dr. Popcheck was one of the people who led a study into what works, basically. And I actually have to say, before I go to the break, it is a clever kind of study to say, well, there are people whose kids stayed Catholic. Let's go ask them and the kids what they did. Why did I lose Dr. Popcheck? What happened? Oh, sorry. Hello? I lost you for a second. So go ahead and respond to that.
Oh no, I just said, yeah, we have to look at what's wrong with them. Why'd they luck out? You know, but yeah, no, that's so that's actually an approach drawn from what's called positive psychology. You study people who have the trait that you want to teach other people to have, and you look and see if there are certain skills or habits that they have that you can teach to other people. And so that was the approach that we had to this research. Let's look at families that were successful at this and see if there was anything that we could learn from them. And it turns out there's a ton that we could learn from them.
All right, call with your questions then, and you can learn it as well. 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
There is tremendous power in prayer, because when we acknowledge that we don't have the power, but God does, things then begin to move for our good. Remember Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now that's power.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest. More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network about a million times a week. I don't know how often, but you can find
Monday
it.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern.
But don't you, I feel like there's a replay. So maybe that's just our local station. I don't know that does the replay. I don't. I feel like I get you at night.
Check local listings.
Check local listings. Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that in a long time. Check your local listings.
No reference lost on younger viewers.
But it's probably in the TV guide. Get yourself a TV guide. And
yeah.
The people in the booth are utterly baffled. They're all under 40. They don't know what a TV guide is. Future Faithful Families Project is part of the work that Dr. Greg Popcheck has done. It's research done in a coordination between the Center for Applied Research at Georgetown University and Peyton. What's the other one?
Peyton Institute for Domestic Church Life, which is an apostolate of Holy Cross Family Ministries.
And they asked people who have, even in this time where it's, you know, only 15% of children raised Catholic end up practicing the Catholic faith as adults. Even in that time, there are families that have that are outliers, that have had a notable success, most of their children or all of their children practicing the faith as adults. So they asked them about that. They investigated what these families do. And if you'd like to benefit from that, you're welcome to call and ask your questions, 888-318-7884. I don't, purely on the as a bias, I was delighted to see one of the tick points of what's good, what helps, is teach manners to your children. Why does that help keep them in the Catholic faith?
Well, you know, it's part of a successful life, right? I mean, yeah. So for example, a research on what's called emotional intelligence shows that, and emotional intelligence is basically your ability to get along with people, to be seen as a likable person, as a person who can empathize with other people. And manners is a part of emotional intelligence. Research consistently shows that people who have good emotional intelligence are even more successful than people who have high IQ. So, you know, it's part of getting along with others and building strong community with others. But, you know, there were 12 habits that we specifically looked at that were identified in the study and that were part of a framework that we call the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life, which is a lot of words, but it just basically means it's a framework for having a happy, healthy family life. And it's something that we teach in an app that we created called Catholic Home. That's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. And it's available on iOS and Android. And it basically is there not just to provide families with resources, but actual support. So our whole pastoral counseling team and family family life coaches are on the app every day answering parents' questions and about, you know, well, parenting stuff and how to pray with my kids and how to experience Christ more meaningfully at home and how to overcome all those struggles that we have as Catholic families living in a very faithless world.
So you can just go wherever you get your app and look for, just try to remember Households on Mission. So it's Catholic Home, H-O-M, and look for it wherever you get your app, download it, put it next to the Solitaire app, and you can use that in your family life. You can also go to thepeytonfamilyinstitute.org to find out more about this work. And of course, Dr. Popchak is the founder of CatholicCounselors.com. Okay, so, but Father Peyton was famous for saying, the family that prays together stays together, as you said at the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. Did your research find that to be true?
It is true, but it's more than that in the sense that it really has about how we pray as a family too. So, you know, any kind of prayer is wonderful. God receives whatever prayers we want to give him, right? But in terms of the relational impact or the impact in terms of faith transmission, we find that prayers that with saying prayers at God is less effective than prayers that invite God to be part of our family. You know, so for example, one of the things that we recommend is when you hug your kids, just make the sign of the cross on their forehead, you know, when you're giving them a hug. Uh-huh. And you know, tell them, you know, I love you so much and Jesus loves you even more. You know, little things like that. When your kids are going to school, give them a blessing, you know, and pray over them and let them ask God that God would bless their day and help them succeed in their work and be a good witness of his love to all the people that they meet. You know, sometimes when you're having a hard time, you can ask your kids to bless you too, once they've learned how to do that because you've shown them. We have a wonderful, Lisa has a wonderful story about when our oldest kids, who are now adults, were little, about 5 and 3, she was having one of those days, you know, where you want to kind of list your kids on eBay. And, and so she was praying over the sink and like, you know, Blessed Mother, please, I gotta, you know. So she called and she felt the Blessed Mother saying to her, well, you know, have your kids pray for you. So she called the kids over and they thought they were in trouble. And she was like, you know, well, because they're used to us praying over them and blessing them. But this was the first time she thought, well, I'll have them pray over me. And she sat down on the couch and said, guys, I'm having a really hard day and I just need you to pray for me. And so, you know, our daughter put her, you know, she was like 3 and she put her hand on my wife's knee and my son put his, he was like 5 and he put his hand on her shoulder and they were just, Jesus, please bless mommy, you know, help her feel good and help us to be good and please help us get along. I mean, it was just so beautiful. And in that moment, it really showed us that, you know, our children can be powerful prayer warriors for us, but also have a clear sense that they have that spiritual power to affect change, that God can give them that grace to be an agent of grace and change in the household. And so we continued that practice throughout our whole family lives where we would pray over them and have them pray over us. I mean, that so, and of course we would have family prayer times. And of course we would do those more formal prayers of the church, like family rosary, which also did factor in very strongly in the research. But the point of this is, you know, that's very different than just saying words at God, right? Which again, every kind of prayer is beautiful. God welcomes all of our prayers. But if it's more of a just let's check the box off kind of approach to prayer versus let's make Christ an actual member of our family and bring him with us as we go through the day and experience his love for us as we go through our family life, that's a very different kind of prayer life. And that tended to be more the kind of prayer that these families lived.
So that's actually kind of creative. And I think some of us who have gone through the parenting of our children think, wish I'd been more creative about some of this stuff. But that's what Catholic Home, the app, can help you do, right? It gives you these
That's
ideas.
Right. Yeah, so Catholic HOM stands for Households on Mission. It's all about, you know, giving families the resources to do this kind of stuff. You don't have to be creative about it. It's a whole community. There are tons of resources like weekly podcasts. There are monthly downloadable activities. We have a monthly live stream, a Q&A with Lisa and I for all the subscribers to be part of. We have moderated discussions from our whole team of pastoral counselors. And also subscribers can ask questions like this. Anytime they have a question about parenting, about marriage, about living their faith at home, all they have to do is take their phone out of their back pocket, type a question in, and they'll get an answer.
And you can call here, too, 888-318-7884, Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest. The research, if someone was listening and wanted to take a look at this research, where could they look at it?
PeytonFamilyInstitute.org. That's the website for the Peyton Institute for Domestic Church Life. Again, it's Peyton, P-E-Y-T-O-N, FamilyInstitute.org.
All right, a couple folks on the line. You can get on the line as well, 888-3187-884. Let's start with Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on KVSF. Second call from Omaha, and I will say it again, where you've been in our prayers, Omaha, Nebraska, because we saw those wild tornadoes that tore through. I hope you're well, Tom.
Oh, I'm well where I lived. I was nowhere near them. It was mainly way out in the far suburbs, but it was terrible.
Yeah, it seemed terrible.
Here's the question. In your research, did you find any correlation between couples that do not use artificial birth control and their ability to raise children that stayed in the church? Or, I mean, is there a cause and effect there, do you think?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, this is a very under-researched area. This specifically the impact of using, for example, NFP or not using birth control, at least on the relationship between husband and wife. There's absolutely no data that I know of on how that might relate to family relationships. The few studies that do exist suggest that couples who use natural family planning, for example, do have closer relationships. And of course, when mom and dad love each other and are closer, then of course the whole family benefits from that. So, you know, anecdotally, you could say that there should be a benefit, but I don't know of any research that actually shows it.
Tom, thank you very much. We always appreciate it when you call, and I'm glad that you are well. This one came from Brooke, and I'm going to read it. We don't have Brooke on the line. I'm Catholic, but my husband is Protestant. I find it hard to bring the faith, especially the rosary, in our household in ways that are non-threatening to my spouse. Any advice for parents in this situation?
Yeah, so there are two things I'd say. The first one is, you know, it's important for the kids to see the faith, at least some faith, as bringing the family together. So the good news is, as Catholics, we can pray in lots of different ways, right? So there are lots of ways the Catholics can pray that won't be threatening to our Protestant brothers and sisters. And so, you know, what ways are praying is your husband comfortable praying? Join him in those things. And then beyond that, you can also do other things that are important to our Catholic faith, like praying a decade of the rosary with the kids. Now, I will say this as a second point. Interfaith marriages, what needs to have happened there is that there has to be this basic attitude of foundational respect. And what I mean by respect is there's an openness to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and all the things you find true, good, and beautiful. And this isn't just true about religion. It's true about, you know, our family cultures. It's true about, you know, what I like to eat. It's when you have a household that where a husband and wife are willing to learn from each other and be open to what's good about each other's experience, that's going to be a happier marriage and a healthier family life. Anytime you run into a situation where faith is a dividing factor in a household, very often there's an underlying struggle with that basic respect, where I'm not willing to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things that you find true, good, and beautiful. That's not a religion problem. That's more of a relationship problem. And the way to test that is to ask if in other areas of your relationship, are you able to come to sort of mutually agreeable conclusions to things, or do you tend to just agree to disagree or do your own thing and stay out of each other's way? If you're able to work through stuff and come to mutually agreeable solutions, you have enough respect there, and this is just sort of a misunderstanding issue where you kind of have to try to work around that a little bit with the first suggestion that I made. But if it's deeper than that, then you might need to seek some counseling to deal with the failure of respect on the deeper level in the relationship.
Brooke, thank you. I hope that's helpful to you. Was there anything in your research about the use of media? Because I actually wouldn't. There's a lot of talk about media in the home, but is it a relevant question in this regard?
Yeah, no, it's relevant. Families in the study tended to use media less. It's not like they didn't have televisions or devices. You know, they did use them less, and they had rules around their use. So, for example, there were times when, they were sort of no phone times. So at dinner time, for example, we're going to put our phones away, or during family time or family meetings or whatever, we're going to put the phones away. But you know, what we find, though, too, there is that it's really important, again, with this discipleship discipline thing, for parents not just say, no, you can't have a phone, because these days, if you don't have a phone, you don't really have a social life. And then that's presents a fairly significant problem for a lot of kids. So the better option is to be able to say, you know, let's talk about how we're going to disciple you in the use of this. So one of the things that we do in our family, or we did with all of our kids growing up, is to say, you know, anytime if you're on your phone, you've invited that person into my home. And so it would be just like if they were actually here at the table or here in the room with us, right? And if you're talking with them, then we have a right to know what you're talking about. And not in a check up on you sort of way, but in a, you know, let's do this together kind of a way. And so that allowed our kids to be able to see this as we were part of that social life, that mm-hmm. social media. And so when they were in conversations, we were talking about what they were talking about and say, how are your friends doing and what's going on? If they started to get in over their head about something, we were able to give them advice there. They were willing to come to us because it wasn't an adversarial relationship around social media. It was a helpful relationship. And so, you know, we could kind of teach them how to use it in ways that were actually helpful to their social relationships and enable them to develop responsibility and social media responsibility without having to be draconian about it.
He knows when to stop talking. He's a radio professional. He hears the music. He knows. Wrap it up. 888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest. More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck each day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Ooh.
This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns to the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. Join special guests Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and an all-star lineup of speakers September 26th through 29th. Spend time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and our special guests right here in beautiful San Diego. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Is Orthodoxy an alternative to the Catholic Church? In a time of uncertainty for many Catholics, Orthodoxy can look like greener pastures. Answering Orthodoxy, the new book from Catholic Answers Press, explains why Catholics who are thinking of leaving need to think twice. There are important reasons to remain in the Catholic Church and convincing answers to Orthodox claims. Order your copy of Answering Orthodoxy today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest. I don't know how he does what he does with the CatholicCounselors.com, where they do you can get a counselor there. Like if you're looking for some counseling help, you can go there and get counseling help there. Members of my own family have done that. He's also working with the Peyton Family Institute doing this research that we're talking about today about raising kids who stay Catholic. He's got the app, Catholic Home app, and Home stands for Households on Mission. So you just go to Catholic H-O-M and wherever you get your apps and download the app. Maybe just a little more about the app, because I would like to entice people to use it. I think it's something that will be very helpful. You're busy and you got to – but if you – you know, and sometimes I think, oh, another thing. This is not like that. It's not another thing. This is not another chore. This is a thing that's going to give you resources to do the thing that you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, how many times as a parent are you just like walking through your day and you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to just, you know, run away. I want to just run away from home, right?
Yes.
Well, instead of doing that, you can pull out the phone from your back pocket and ask us a question, or go on and find support from other families, or a member of my pastoral counseling team or one of our coaches, and just talk with you there. They'll put you in, point you toward the resources we've got on the app. Set you up with one of our live streams, tons of videos that you can check out. It's just a great resource for Catholic parents who are wanting to lead more faithful lives and build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic home. And I will say you can try it out for free. The first 30 days are absolutely free to check it out. You do have to input payment information, but you can cancel anytime. So don't worry about that. We just want you to just check, get on there and check it out. So download the Catholic Home app. But, you know, this research that we did in part was to validate the framework that we use to teach families how to live these lives that we're talking about and raise faithful kids. And so we were very pleased to see that the study that we did through CARIA, this Future Faithful Families Project that we did through the Peyton Institute, really did validate the work that we're doing on the app. And, you know, I'm also very pleased. We did a poll a little while back that asked families, you know, how much were they benefiting from the resources and from the support we're providing through Catholic Home, you know, and what we found was that 85% of subscribers said that they were experiencing a significant positive difference in their family lives within 2 weeks of using the resources on the app. It's been humbling to see how the Holy Spirit is using this work to make a difference in so many families' lives. And so really, you know, check it out. I think you'll really be pleasantly surprised to see what you can get from it.
Catholic Home, H-O-M, get the Catholic Home app. One of the things I do think people worry about, and I'm coming back to the callers. I see you there, callers, and I'm coming back to you. But I'm not a perfect Catholic. This is for those perfect Catholics. I'm not one of those people that knows the faith that well. This is for those people. And I feel like that knowing the work you do, nothing could be farther from the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we direct CatholicCounselors.com. So our work is very much rooted in the very real lives of very real people who are facing very real problems. You know, we like to say that the Catholic Home is not for perfect families. It's for any family that wants to experience God's love more perfectly at home. And so if you're a blended family, if you're a single parent family, if you're a grandparenting family, if you're a foster family, adoptive family, or a traditional family, you're going to get something out of this because it's going to teach you how to use the stuff you already do all day and use it to draw closer to each other and to God. This is not about doing more things. This is about doing the things you already do with more intentionality and to greater effect. You know, so for example, you know, one of the things we talk about, and this is something that the families in our study did too, work rituals where we work together as a family. Now, you don't have to pick up new things. Chances are you probably wash your dishes every day, I'm guessing. What if you washed your dishes together as a family and you use that time to continue the conversation you started at dinner? Maybe you put on some fun music, praise music, whatever. You talked, you laughed together. You don't make the getting the project done the focus of the work time. You make relating to each other the focus. But what that does is it shows that we can show up for each other, not just for the fun stuff, but for all the other stuff too. And we can work together and come closer. You know, families always say, well, we'll get time together when all the stuff is done. But the stuff is never done.
Right.
So why not learn to use the stuff of family life to draw closer to each other? That's the kind of stuff that Catholic Home teaches families how to do.
How wonderful. The number here, if you want to talk with Dr. Greg Popcheck, 888-318-7884. I always learn from Dr. Popcheck when he's here, and there I did it again. Now, I didn't know you're supposed to wash the dishes every day. This is important information for me. It will probably be life-changing. Dan's in Northern Virginia watching on YouTube. Dan, welcome. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, yeah, thanks. It's great that you're studying the 15% and what works, but wow, 85%, what are we doing about that? Is someone studying that?
There's been plenty of studies on sure. No, that's a great question. But the whole point of this study isn't to just kind of validate those 15%. It's to say, what are those people doing that we can teach the other 85%, right? Because it's not like that 15% are magical somehow. It's that they've just kind of intuited, either because of the way they were raised or because of their own, you know, spiritual life or the work they've done in therapy or whatever, that they've been able to figure out, hey, these things seem to work for us. And so what we're able to do is identify that those particular habits and practices that 15% of families do and teach them to the other 85%. And our hope there is that, you know, that by doing that, we'll help that 85% actually become faithful as well. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really, really important question, but that's the entire point of this study. It's not just to better understand the 15%. It's to take those skills that they learned or that they use and teach them to everybody else. As I was mentioning earlier in the show, there's a whole line of research called positive psychology. So, you know, where the first 100 years of psychology studied people who are miserable and said, why are they so miserable? Positive psychology says, let's study people who are doing things well and figure out if there are any skills or habits that they do that we can teach other people. And that's been a very successful approach to learning treatments for depression and anxiety and even marriage and family life. And so we've applied that to Catholic marriage and family life. And that's the entire point of this research, is to really save that other 85%.
Okay, Dan?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate
the
call.
Thanks a lot, sir. Appreciate the question.
Let's go to Mark in Mark in Colorado Springs, listening on 104.3 FM. Mark, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Dr. Popchak, does your experience confirm this study by J.P. DeGance of Communio? I believe it was in 2018. He did the survey with the help of Mark Ragnaris of the UT Austin, the sociology professor you might be familiar with.
Sure.
The conclusion, I'll do it in two statements. Millennials from continuously married families are 78% more likely to attend church twice monthly or more frequently than millennials from divorced, never married, or widowed homes. The second statement, a white millennial is 96% more likely to attend church if he or she came from a continuously married family. Do you confirm, or what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I would agree with that. And there's actually other research that backs that up. So there's actually a video on YouTube. If you search for Between Two Worlds, The Spiritual Lives of Children of Divorce, Between Two Worlds, The Spiritual Lives of Children of Divorce, it's a study that was done by Elizabeth Marquardt. And what it shows is that one of the reasons that the children from divorced households have less likelihood of owning their faith as adults is that in most families, in intact families, parents are the meaning makers for their children. They help their kids make meaning, right, out of things. They kind of help their kids make sense out of life. In divorced households, kids have to become their own meaning makers, because in mom's house, there's one set of rules and one set of things we talk about in one life. And in dad's house, we have another entirely different life. And the only place where all the people I love that exist in one place is in my own head. And so I, as a child of divorce, have to kind of make my own meaning. And I become very suspicious of any other people or institutions that try to make meaning for me. So when I grow up, I am less likely to be involved in church, because the church wants to tell me how to live. They want to tell me how to think. And I'm not up for that. So historically, kids used to grow up and become seekers in faith. Now they're samplers. They put together their own spiritual meaning. They draw a little bit from Catholicism and a little bit from Buddhism and a little bit from, you know, whatever they saw on, you know, TV. And they just kind of assemble their own spiritual life. And largely that comes from that. When you come from an intact family, you're much more likely to be able to have learned that meaning making from your mom and your dad. And if your mom and dad happen to be Catholic, then you're much more likely to be able to own that as well, because that becomes part of your story. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I have to, hang on the line, though, because I want to ask you both something. I mean, 78% is actually not very good news if the total we're talking about is 15%. I mean, that would get you up to, even if you stayed married, if that's all you did and you increased your chances by 78%, well, now we're up to around 25%.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Go ahead.
You know, and that's important. And that's important to note, because you know, so there's another thing, like a lot of the families that we studied did have a parent who was a stay-at-home parent. But we also know lots of kids who were raised in households with a stay-at-home parent who didn't grow up to be faithful.
Right.
Right. So what our point is that it's not just the fact that the couple was married or that mom was home. It's that these families did certain things that other families don't do. And it's those practices that every family can do. Now, you know, an intact family with a stay-at-home parent is going to be more likely to do these things because there's somebody at home who's actually monitoring, are we doing these things?
Right.
But if every family can be aware of these practices and intentional about building them in and working together to make them happen, we're pretty sure that these things will work for any household. So the practices that are behind Catholic Home that have been really supported by this study, that you can read for yourself at PeytonFamilyInstitute.org, are really important for every family, no matter what their construct is or where they're at. By the way, we've also presented this to over 50 countries on 5 continents, and every culture that hears this model says, we can do this. So this is a truly universal approach to family life. It works for every culture. It works for every construct of family. It's a terrifically powerful, very simple to use resource.
Mark, thank you. Appreciate the call and the questions. There's a couple lines open if you want to call. 888-318-7884. While we take this break, our guest is Dr. Greg Popchak. We're talking about raising kids who stay Catholic. The numbers are a bit daunting for those who are parents now or thinking about being parents, or maybe those who are looking back on their own parenting or looking forward to being grandparents, as some of us are. Then it's a tough road for anybody ahead if we're looking at what Dr. Popchak found in his research, which is 15% of kids who are raised Catholics are practicing the Catholic faith as adults. Let's see how we can get those numbers up. If you've got questions about how to get those numbers up, Dr. Greg Popchak is the guy who's got lots of very helpful, practical answers. 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray at some point our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest. You can hear him each weekday on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More to Life is the show. But one of the things I do think sometimes a lot of us, we can throw up our hands and go, what a mess this all is. And one of the things I do appreciate about Dr. Greg Popchak's work is, yes, okay, go ahead, throw up your hands, but then there are practical things that we can do to make the situation better. And there, we can actually look forward to a greater success rate of raising our kids Catholic if we will attend to not a whole host of terribly complex things, but a few things that are absolutely vital. If we get those right in the home, wonderful things can happen. But I will ask this, Dr. Popchak, look, so say someone's in here. Like, I'm looking at Zach, who's engineering for us today. He's got a little kid. Probably more will come in the next few years for he and his wife. They want to have these kids, grow up to be Catholic. Are you guaranteeing? Is this some kind of you do it the way I tell you? Is this a guarantee you're going to get Catholic adults?
No, thanks for asking. And it's absolutely not a guarantee, of course. You know, there are no silver bullets, there are no guarantees. But what we can do is say this: look, these practices, you know, are the practices that families who successfully raise most, if not all, of their kids to a faithful adulthood. And you know, if I told you, like you said at the opening, you know, only 15% of kids raised in Catholic households grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. If you had a 15% chance of living after a diagnosis of cancer, and I said, hey, what, you know what, we could probably get that up to 30% or 50%, would you take it? Exactly. So what we're really doing here is saying, look, these are the things that families who successfully raised all their kids to a faithful adulthood do. there's a really good chance that if you do them, you're going to have a better chance of raising faithful kids. Now, I will say this. After the study came out, we started sharing the results with family life directors around the country, from dioceses, we have parishes, we talked to actual families. And over again, what we heard, and these were not families who were participating in the original study, they would either say, you know what? I always wondered why. I've got eight siblings, and this is actually a real story. I'm the ninth of eight siblings, and all of us are faithful Catholics, and I never understood why until I heard you talking. And my family does all these things. Wow. And at the same time, that person who was sitting next to them piped up and said, "You know what? My story is the opposite. I'm one of five, and none of my brothers or sisters are faithful. And my mom always asked me why." You know, because they did all the things, right? They went to Mass, went to Catholic school. And I know the answer based on the study, but I don't want to tell Mom because it would break her heart. Because yeah. We didn't have a household that did these things, and it didn't have that faith as a source of the warmth in our home. I mean, these are two people who were sitting right next to each other who validated our findings from two opposite ends of the thing. So, you know, again, there are no guarantees. We're not promising that this is automatically going to enable you to raise faithful kids, but it's going to give you a heck of a lot better shot than if you don't do these things.
And will it work for different personality types? Because frankly, there are people I think who hear about warmth in the home and maybe they feel a little dejected. I'm not that warm a person. That's hard for me to be.
Well, that's fair. But that has to do with what's something called attachment styles. And I will say this, when babies are born, they crave warmth. There's nothing warmer than a baby right when they're born. They want warmth, they give warmth, right? If we don't have warmth, it's been trained out of us, right? And God wants to heal that. That's a wound that God wants to heal. And so this framework, again, that's why we call it the liturgy of domestic church life, because like a liturgy, it heals and it transforms by bringing God's love and grace into a situation to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships with God and each other. And this framework does bring that grace in to heal that damage that sin does to our relationships with moms and dads and parents and kids and the wounds that we carry from our own childhood.
888-318-7884 is the number, and I'm giving it out because we do have lines open and we can get you on if you call with your question for Dr. Popcheck right now. 888-318-7884. If I could just mention again, the app that we suggested earlier, some people are going to go, I didn't write it down. Well, Catholic Home is the app, and Home is spelled H-O-M because it stands for Households on Mission. If you're a parent, a grandparent, if a prospective parent, and you'd like to learn about creating this kind of home where the warmth in the home comes from the faith life of the family, then check out Catholic Home, download it and see what you can get out of it there. Dr. Greg Popcheck, also the founder of CatholicCounselors.com and associated with the Peyton Family Institute at PeytonFamilyInstitute.org. Marilyn couldn't stay on the line, but she's got a question I know a lot of people have. She was listening in Cypress, Texas to Guadalupe Radio. What advice do you have for grandparents for their children's children?
You know, all these things, well, first of all the research really does show that grandparents play a significant role in determining whether their grandkids become faithful adults. And we have a tendency to underestimate their grandparents' influence. But the more, you know, we're in a society where more and more grandparents are raising their grandkids. And, you know, the more you can do these practices as a grandparent, you know, the better, the stronger relationship you're going to have with your grandkids and the more opportunities you're going to have to introduce them to Christ in your interactions with them. So we actually do have several grandparents on Catholic Home who, you know, their kids are grown, but they have their grandkids over, either whether it's once a week or even once a month or every day. And they're using the downloadable activities and they're benefiting from the conversations and they're sharing stories with each other on the app as well. So it's a great resource for grandparents too. But don't underestimate your ability to influence your grandkids. Yes, of course, pray for them, but get in there, build relationship, you know, spend that time with them, do the things that this study shows, and really allow God to work through you.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. I think sometimes the parent, I do hear from grandparents who they almost feel guilty because the child who's now an adult, the faith didn't stick with the child, and now they worry. Mm-hmm. Well, what am I supposed to do for the grandchild? You know, what's my responsibility now?
Well, and I think, you know, this framework that we talk about. So, you know, again, we did this study so that we could in part validate the framework that we use to teach families how to lead stronger, more faithful family lives on Catholic Home. And the research did bear that out. And so, again, you know, it's an opportunity to reflect. OK, what were the areas where we need to grow in? You know, what were the things that I wish I could have done better as a parent? Now let's do them with my adult kids and my grandkids. You know, Lisa and I have a book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. And it really applies these ideas to our relationship with our adult kids. You know, obviously these practices are going to look different when your kids live out of town or, you know, they're not, you don't see them as often, but there are lots of things you can do to build relationship using these practices, even with your adult sons and daughters, that also apply to your grandkids. It's never too late. You know, that guilt, you know, if it causes us to reflect and say, what can I learn and how can I do better moving forward? That's loving conviction of the Holy Spirit. But if it's that guilt that just causes me to get stuck and say, oh, woe is me, and I feel powerless and I feel isolated and I feel, you know, self-pitying, that's the enemy. And if the enemy is tempting us into that place, what he's trying to do is stop us from doing, from recognizing that there are things that the Holy Spirit says I can do to make a difference. So don't get stuck in that wallowing kind of unhealthy guilt. You know, focus instead on what you can learn from things like this and what you can do moving forward to cooperate with God's grace and make a difference in your kids and your grandkids' lives.
Let's go to Victor in Washington. I don't know where Victor's listening. I'm not sure what that means. But Victor, you're very welcome here. Are you listening on local WWW?
Local radio station out of Walla Walla.
Oh, in Walla Walla. Okay, I didn't know how to read that. God bless you, Victor. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Popcheck.
Hello, doctor. My wife and I, we're Catholic. We're both cradle Catholics. But my wife, I don't know how to put it, but sure, faith is a little more superficial, where she doesn't take it as seriously or as deep as I'd like to her to. And sometimes that causes friction in our relationship, you know, because she doesn't see the importance of it, doesn't feel it as deep. And I want to know how can I approach her to make her understand that this is important, that we need to take this more seriously. But I don't want to push her or put her off, because I know that, you know, I don't want to force her into anything. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, yeah, no worries. So, you know, don't separate. I mean, this is an opportunity for you to evangelize, right? And to really show your wife the power of God's grace by the way you love her. You know, the one thing I wanted to say is don't approach this like a catechism lesson or a lecture. You know, for the first thing you want to do is really show her how the more serious you've become in your faith, the better a husband you are. You know, that the grace that God is giving you through your prayer life, through your spiritual life, is challenging you to do those things that she's asked you to do, but you maybe haven't wanted to do because, you know, you love your comfort zone more than her. And now God is, you know, like we all do, we all struggle with that, right? And as we pray, you know, be praying that God would help you become the husband that she needs you to be, the husband that God wants you to be able to reveal his love to her, and really just, you know, pour that into that. And then secondly, you know, and invite her to pray with you, you know, and be flexible about the kind of prayers. You know, somebody who is new to the faith might not be ready to do a full rosary, for example. That's a beautiful prayer. We should all learn that. That's a great way to meditate on the life of Christ. But it's not, you know, so it's not a prayer that you can just jump right into as a Catholic who hasn't been well formed. You know, so what kind of prayer would she like? One of the things that my wife and I do when we wake up in the morning, we just roll toward each other, you know, hold on to each other and say, okay, Lord, you know, help me be the husband that you want me to be, and help me to love my wife the way you want me to love her, and help me to really hear what she's trying to say to me so that I can be the husband that's really going to show her how much you love her. And then my wife will offer a similar prayer, right? And then maybe we'll pray about stuff in the day, or maybe we'll say that rosary as well, you know, but it's just a simple way to bring God into your relationship. My wife and I actually did a book called Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com, and it really talks about wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, even if your spouse is unchurched or not faithful, there are little simple ways to bring Christ into that relationship and just kind of bring them along with you in ways that are not threatening, not judgmental, not heavy-handed, but that really start to bear fruit in your relationship. So check it out. Again, it's Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love.
And if you just go to CatholicCounselors.com, there's a button, I think, that you click and it'll books, right? Or publications or something.
Yep, yeah, books.
Yes. I think that's going to have to do it because I can't take another call in the next 20 seconds. But I will say another thing I learned, if the call screener writes local WWW, that means the local radio station in Walla Walla, Washington. I don't know how I was supposed to. Would your call screener do
how
that?
How could you not know that?
Okay, so you're a pro.
Come on,
you, Cy. You knew that.
You call yourself a radio professional.
I just didn't know what to do with local WWW. Of course it means the local radio station in Walla Walla, Washington. Dr. Greg Popcheck has been our guest. Check him out. More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. Do get the app if you're in any way associated with Catholic Family. Get Catholic Home, the app, HOM. CatholicCounselors.com is his website. And if you want to find this research that we've been talking about raising kids who stay Catholic, go to the PeytonFamilyInstitute.org and you can get the information there. PeytonFamilyInstitute.org. Dr. Popcheck, you are a gem. I'm always so happy when you're on with us. Thank you for doing this with us.
Thanks for having me, Sly. God bless.
All right. Good night to everybody and to everyone in Walla Walla, Washington, especially. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.